7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and we have a good one for you.
Maybe.
And it is, yeah, maybe is a very, very strong
Easy.
Word.
Don't be telling people lies, Joshua.
Again, we have a special guest in the studio today, and it is none other than Michael Agent. Mike, how are you doing?
Good. Would you guys like to know what I've been doing lately?
Well, I heard you were on house arrest, and this was like a privilege that you got. You got a week away.
I've been making high-quality gifts for companies. And my latest was the guy getting dragged away from the United airline, but I superimposed Mel Gibson's face from Braveheart, and he was screaming, "Freedom!"
What the hell is going on?
I worked on that all day.
Didn't even have to write it down. That's the best part.
No, that was impressive.
There's no doubt you were at work just watching yourself on your computer camera, just repeating the joke, so you made sure to hit it in the right spot.
So let's tell everybody that we are going to be doing the Mike Agent Mock Draft 1.0 because this is his first mock draft with us. So.
I'm pretty pumped about it.
Yeah. I'm excited. I can't wait to see who the Stampede end up drafting in Mike's draft.
Also, if you guys did not check out our first episode.
From the CFL? The Stampede? No.
If you guys did not check out our first episode this week, we had an interview with who?
Willie Quinn.
Willie Quinn, NFL draft hopeful. Check that episode out. We also did a little bit of the NFL breaking news. Plus, coming up in a future episode, probably, Thursday night, I believe, we are going to do a four-person fantasy mock draft. I know we are going to get back to fantasy football because fantasy football is freaking great.
Yep. Fantasy football's life. And next week is the NFL draft.
Again, next week we will have a Tom Schultz mock draft special. And he's not giving us any hints. He's not giving anything away. No trades, no nothing. He's not letting us know. There may be trades. There may be somebody may forfeit a pick. Who knows what's going
to
happen?
I heard that he had to listen to Mike's first just so he could get some good ideas.
Mine's done right now, so I can pull it out anytime.
Yeah, too. It's done. Okay, I can pull something out too, champ.
Also, while the draft is going on Thursday, the hope is that we will be together to go ahead and give you live updates for the draft. If we do not do that, please check us out on our Twitter. We will be updating it as it goes, what we think each pick will be, and then who each person will pick as well.
Josh, I will be at the Pony Keg Studios as long as Tim doesn't show up.
Guys, I will be at the Pony Keg Studios in hopes that Tom does not show up.
Excellent. I will be at home, so I'll be here one way or another.
Mike, you're invited.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Yeah, Mike, you can come. Tom won't be here.
All right, let's get into it. Mike, your mock draft, you are on the clock. Cleveland Browns, pick number one. And if I announce a pick, so like if I go Cleveland Browns number one, you're on the clock, and you're going to do a trade, I want you to go make a funny noise like Tim. Tim, what was yours last week?
It was terrible.
Oh, it was bad.
Have a trade.
I want to hear something going on.
What not to do.
Make it better than that.
I don't want the goddamn four-letter network's noise. I want your own noise.
And you've had a whole week to listen to my dumbass noise, so you better have thought of something good.
Well, unfortunately for you guys, I don't have any trades.
There you go.
All right.
Straightforward.
Keeping it old school.
Yeah, straightforward.
All right. Pick number one, Cleveland Browns on the clock.
I'm going to go more into the needs of the team on their pick number 12 because number one is pretty easy. Everyone's saying it. Everyone's doing it. It's Myles Garrett, edge rusher from Texas A&M. This guy is just a freak. 6'4 and 1/2 inch. He's 272 pounds, ran a 4.6 4.40, and benched 33 times. Listen, he's got balls. I would draft him number over one. Overall, sorry, I said that really weird, but I'm going to quote him real quick. It was from a week or two ago. If you don't draft me, number one, I will punish your team for the next 10 to 12 years. Right there, you put the stamp of approval, and you draft number one.
I like the pick. Makes a lot of sense. Also, little known fact, Mike, about this draft, since you are just coming back to the show, every player in this draft does, in fact, have balls, so just to get that out of the way.
That is not a fact, Tim. I'd like for you to try to prove that. But the Myles Garrett selection, it's perfect. I don't Some people are trying to get cute and say Mitchell Trubisky deserves to go there. The Browns do like him. But Myles Garrett is a special talent, and he's using the old Peyton Manning trick. Just threaten the team with the first overall pick, and they're going to draft you.
Yep. That's all I got. I mean, it's Garrett. One way or another, I like it. So
I want to apologize real quick. I forgot to set the tone because I feel like this podcast has been missing one thing, and it's the vision of what the draft is going to be. It's being held in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Brotherly love.
Worst place on earth.
Roger Goodell is going to come out on stage, and they are going to boo him so hard. Feel those boos. Yeah. That is like my greatest moment of any draft is the boos of Roger Goodell.
Mike, I do feel them. I get that same feeling when Roger Goodell gets on stage and all those people boo. Was the same exact feeling I got when you walked into the studio today to give us your mock draft. Josh, Tom, and I, we all booed. It was fantastic. You are, in fact, the Roger Goodell of Pony Keg Sports.
Only if I could get paid $44 million a year. That would be nice.
Pick number two, the San Francisco 49ers are on the clock.
Guys, I got a truth. I lied to you. I got trades.
Oh! Curveball!
So,
where's the funny noise? Yeah.
Car! I don't know.
That's like your trade noise? Caw?
Watch out, here it comes.
All right, let's hold on.
What are things you say to your wife for 500, please?
All right, let's do this. We got Caw. All right, let's do it.
So the San Francisco 49ers trade the number two overall pick to the Carolina Panthers, and they select one. Leonard Fournette, running back, LSU. This guy is just the best running back that I have told you about so far today. Just a little foreshadowing there.
Oh,
I love the pick, Mike.
He comes with speed, power. The guy is violent, and he can trample defenders. There's not really much you can't say bad about him, except for the fact that you didn't see him catch the ball much, but that's because LSU didn't use him in that particular
capacity.
Thank you. He has a little bit of injury history with his ankles, so you got to be a little bit concerned about that. Make sure you take care of that. Make sure your doctors check him out. Otherwise than that, you have Leonard Fournette as a rare talent. He's an elite runner with three-down skill set, and he has great burst, which is good for Carolina because they like to take the ball out of the shotgun. He'll be a great draw player for that team.
Love the pick, Mike. I love the fact that you're making sure, which is what we talked about, Carolina feeling the pressure of other teams. Building up on Fournette and jumping up, moving ahead to get the guy that they want.
Fournette going to the Panthers would be the best overall landing spot for him. They got a veteran team, a team that's looking to win now, a team that saw what injecting a young, physically talented running back can do in Dallas, and they're expecting the same thing there in Carolina. They're 2 years removed from a Super Bowl, and they're trying to get back now.
Yeah, I totally agree. Just for the fact that, again, this may be the only possible time or chance that the Carolina Panthers could get Leonard Fournette. There's a very strong possibility that he could go at four to Jacksonville. So making this trade with either the 49ers or the Bears would make all the sense in the world at that spot. So I like the pick, Mike.
Yeah, there's just too many people saying the Jags are going to take him. I think Carolina will feel the pressure. I know people are saying Christian McCaffrey is going to go, has a possibility to go to the Carolina, but I don't see that possible. So number three overall, the Chicago Bears, they have obvious needs as safety, their offensive tackles, and wide receivers. Sorry for this one. It's a little bit long in my needs section, but the Bears are a dumpster fire that are trying to make things happen.
I like this unbiased breakdown of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, let's continue this dumpster fire.
They let Alshon Jeffrey walk, Cameron Meredith, Kendall Wright, Marcus Wheaton, Reuben Randall, and Kevin White are an intriguing group of wide receivers. They definitely need to have some help there. I don't even want to talk about their O-line because it just changes, and you never know who's going to go where and who's going to update or what Green Bay Packer they're going to take. But the Bears did add Quinton Demps, but the problem there, he's 32. But between 2013 and 2016, he did average 4.5 takeaways per year, so it's pretty good there. But the
you have an okay player. an old OK player.
The other three safeties, to give you comparison, the other three safeties on the Chicago Bears have 4 total takeaways from last year, so that's not too good. They haven't had a ball hawk.
Just make your goddamn pick.
No way. I told you I got a lot to say about the Bears. The Bears haven't had a ball hawk since Michael Brown, and they haven't taken a safety in the first round since 1990 with Mark Carrier. And a fun fact that the 2015-2016 season for the Chicago Bears, they had 28 takeaways total, which is a franchise worst and ranked last in the NFL. So with all that being said, the Chicago Bears, with the number 3 overall pick, are going to take one Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah, I'm just joking.
I was fucking waiting.
It's Jamal Adams, safety LSU. The guy is just a natural leader. He's aggressive. He's got range. He can go sideline to sideline. The great thing about him is the range, and that will allow him to be able to jump up, make those catch balls, and create interceptions and turnovers from that. He's a violent hitter. If you watch some of his tape, he can strip the ball and get those fumbles. He loves hitting running backs. Don't really see much wrong with him. Oh, and he's a natural leader, something that the Bears desperately need on defense.
You know, Mike, I like the pick. That's who the guy who I want the Bears to take, and I love the fact that you use the adjective dumpster fire because, like describing the Bears, it also describes your mock draft. So very, very good.
The Bears are in desperate need of secondary help. Luckily for them, there is tons of top-end talent in the secondary that they could choose from. Jamal Adams would be a great selection for them. He's a true leader. And ask anyone at LSU, this kid was the leader on the field, off the field, in the meeting rooms, and that's something the Bears need to bring to their organization.
Yeah, Jamal Adams, it just makes a lot of sense. Again, they did get Quentin Demps, but at the same time, you could even go corner here at this spot too, because they did cut Tracy Porter as well, so that is a possible way that they can go with possibly Marshawn Lattimore, but the Jamal Adams pick, you have a foundation piece right there. Yep. He's going to be there for a long time.
For sure.
Number 4 overall, the Jacksonville Jaguars. My top 3 needs for them are tight end, edge rusher, and running back. With Fournette being off the board, there's not much need to take something at number 4 overall. If you look at their offseason, they traded Julius Thomas for a left tackle, so that's good there. They shored up their offensive line. So they go ahead and take one Solomon Thomas, who is a good technician with great hands and uses them very well. He knows how to shed blockers and get to the quarterback. He's got speed and get off. The only one thing I would say is he does need to learn better counter moves. Other than that, he's just a great player that I just see a good fit for Jacksonville to make their defense a little bit better.
Think of this. Jacksonville's defense is already that good and that young and that up and coming. You add a Solomon Thomas to that team, oh boy, look out. That's all I got to say.
I love the pick. You know, like you said, that secondary already is very young and very vicious. You add someone to put pressure on the quarterback like Solomon Thomas. I love that pick. You know, fantastic guy. It would fit perfect.
I am praying that the Jaguars get Solomon Thomas. I think he's completely overhyped right now. And that's all I got to say about him.
Why do you hate the Jaguars?
Because they're in the AFC South, dummy.
Oh, okay.
Number 5 overall, the Tennessee Titans. My top 3 needs for them are wide receiver, cornerback, and tight end. In the offseason, you can see second-year GM John Robinson. Hopefully, he can do with the running backs and O-line that he did last year. He can do with his wide receivers and cornerbacks this year. Kendall Wright, Dorrell Green Beckham, and Justin Hunter are all gone. Robinson needs to add a true number 1 to pair with Rishard Matthews and Tajay Sharpe. However, there's just no way Tennessee can pass up on the one, Marshawn Lattimore, cornerback, Ohio State. The guy is 6 foot, 193 pounds, ran a 4.36 40, and did not bench at the combine, so we don't know what he did there. This guy is an absolute stud. He can play in coverage and dominate. He's quick and powerful hands that will mess with wide receivers' routes. His feet will drop your jaw just like the first time you saw a pair of boobs with your naked eye. It's unreal. In 2014, some negatives. In 2014, he did miss a whole year with a leg injury. And in almost all of 2015, one thing you can see a lot from Ohio State guys is they do get a bit grabby, so you might see some penalties for pass interference. Well, overall, Marshawn Lattimore checks all the boxes for a true number one corner, and Tennessee should be very happy with his pick.
Fun fact about Marshawn Lattimore is he's actually older now than Mike was when he saw his first pair of boobs, so that's fantastic. But no, listen, Lattimore's done everything smart in the combine leading up to the draft. He hasn't done anything to hurt his stock. He's made sure to make all, you know, push all the right buttons going up. You know, he didn't bench. Smart on him. He knows he's not going to test well on the bench, and this is what we talked about a lot during the combine. Why would you test on things that you know you're going to not test well in? So I love the pick for the Jaguars. Good stuff, Mike.
Top five talent. If Tennessee gets Marshawn Lattimore, they're going to be extremely happy. They've got a lot of pass catchers, good pass catchers in the AFC South, and he's going to be trying to shut them down for years to come. Don't think he's on the same level as Jalen Ramsey coming out of Florida State last year, but he's really close to it.
Yeah, if you're getting Marshawn Lattimore at this spot at 25, at pick number 5, it's a great spot. He could easily go to Chicago at number 3. He could easily go to the 49ers if they didn't make the trade with Carolina at pick number 2. So, again, I think he's a top 5 talent. And trying to decide between him or a wide receiver at 5, I just think I don't want to say the hype, but the better player would be Marshawn Lattimore over a wide receiver. So, great job with that, Mike.
Thank you. Number 6 overall, the New York Jets. My top 3 needs for them are quarterback, cornerback, and outside linebacker. Unfortunately for the Jets this offseason, they've been more about who's leaving and not who they've been adding. They lost Nick Mangold, their center, Brandon Marshall, Darrell Revis, Ryan Clady, their left tackle, Ryan, sixth grade birthday party, Fitzmagic. Hasn't been re-signed, and they did sign Josh McCown and add a left tackle, Kelvin Beachum. So, I mean, they got that going for them, but not too much. Overall, what this team needs is a quarterback, and they need a quarterback to start now. 6 overall, I can't blame them for taking one, Deshaun Watson, quarterback Clemson. He's a big game. He plays great in big games. He's light on his feet. He can float in the pocket. He has a quick release and great placement on shorter routes. That's the one bad nag against him is he does not have a good long ball. And sometimes he can have really bad accuracy when he's unwilling or unable to set his feet. You can see that in his 17 interceptions, which was pretty bad. But overall, Deshaun Watson has the intangibles that can make him worth the first-round pick, and he should be set to replace Josh McCown in the first season.
Mike, on your rankings, do you have Watson higher than Trubisky, or why'd you make Deshaun the first quarterback?
I have Trubisky higher, but Trubisky needs to be redshirted his first year, and unfortunately for New York, they need somebody they can play right now.
Yeah, it's a very good thing to say right there. I mean, Deshaun Watson, he's played all 4 years for the most part. He's been with Clemson. He's played every single time. You look at Trubisky, and this is a guy that's a part-time starter, I guess, in a sense, right? He's only had, 13 career starts? Yep. So you are getting a guy that has started more games, has been involved in more games. I know Trubisky has played in a lot of games, but only started a handful, so... you are getting the more, in my opinion, well-rounded quarterback, more ready-to-play now quarterback, and like you said, he would kind of almost need a red shirt.
You know, this is the first pick, Mike, that I absolutely hate. To me, it doesn't make any sense. If you're the New York Jets, listen, you want to talk about dumpster fire. The New York Jets are the definition of a dumpster fire. They have really nothing to build on in terms of young talent. Any quarterback that they take, this is the weakest quarterback class in years. If they're taking any of these quarterbacks thinking that they're going to, you know, come out and start right now, they are way, way, way just out of line, and it makes no sense whatsoever. I feel like they're probably going to build with like a Malik Hooker or something like that on the defensive side of the ball to build their defense, to get someone to actually run stuff other than a quarterback who you don't know when he's actually going to play.
If that they did go with the quarterback, though, Tim, would you be okay with Deshaun Watson there?
No, I wouldn't, because I feel like wasn't Geno Smith the last quarterback that they took Or do they?
Christian Hackenberg.
Hackenberg as well. Reached for him. I mean, they have, you know, they have Smith where they drafted, which is they're not the same, but similar to Watson, and they have Hackenberg, who's similar to Mitchell Trubisky, which makes me feel like even more that they're not going to draft quarterback. If it's me, you guys already know I have Trubisky over Deshaun Watson.
What I've seen from the Jets this offseason, personally, I think they're going the route that the Cleveland Browns went. They didn't bring back any of that veteran talent. They're dumping cap. I think they're going to try to trade back, try to collect picks for the next 2 years, but it's hard finding trade partners sometimes, especially if there isn't a player on the board someone desperately wants. Mike already had the Panthers trade up, so there goes one possible trade contender. But I personally don't see the Jets taking a quarterback either.
Well, lucky for them, I mean, if there is a Malik Hooker still on the board, yeah. A team could definitely trade up and give them exactly that time. Yeah,
that's a big cornerstone.
Absolutely.
Even if the Jets drafted him.
So number 7 overall, the Los Angeles Chargers, which is still very
that's
weird.
That's so weird.
So weird to say. My top 3 needs for them are safety, O-line, and quarterback. They had a lot of moving pieces in this offseason. Only the right tackle, Joe Barksdale, made the 16 starts for last season. So that's an obvious need on their O-line. The void of Weddle is still being felt, which is it's just they're just a hard team. Yeah, they brought in Casey Hayward last year, who was the leading intercepting-er of last year. I don't know how you would say that exactly. But overall, they're still feeling the void of Weddle, and so they're going to take Malik Hooker, safety, Ohio State. This guy is just a phenomenal safety. If it wasn't for Adams, he would definitely be the number one in any other year. He's a basketball player who moved to football, added that with his long arms, his strong hands, and the ability to close on the ball. The added bonus that he can track and attack balls at their high point, that makes him a T-1000 of safeties, a turnover machine.
I love the pick there, Mike. It would fit San Diego perfectly for what they need. Good job.
If Malik Hooker is on the board at 7 and the Chargers don't take him, I will be absolutely shocked. He's a top 5 player in this draft for me. I think he's a better overall safety prospect. Then, what's his name?
Jamal Adams.
So they should be thrilled with getting him at the number 7 spot.
Yeah, Malik Hooker has been the guy that I've had at number 7 all along. And, again, you could probably take Malik Hooker and flip-flop Jamal Adams in most situations. So if Malik Hooker's there, San Diego will be extremely happy.
Just makes way too much sense.
Yeah.
Number 8 overall, the San Francisco 49ers, dealing the trade with the Carolina Panthers. Top 3 needs, quarterback, linebacker, offensive lineman. Listen, they need a quarterback. That's as simple as that. And with the number 8, I think they feel very safe in taking one, Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback, Northern Carolina. This guy is a prototypical modern quarterback build. He has a quick delivery and velocity. His accuracy can make short to intermediate passes, his good feel for pass rush, and can extend plays with his feet. Overall, I just don't see that being a bad deal with new GM John Lynch.
Yeah, if they can end up getting him that far back, I think they absolutely will. I feel like there's a chance that they take him at 2. So I like the pick.
Yeah, if they can trade down and get Mitchell Trubisky there at 8, where you're probably considering him at number 2, fantastic. Or even if the Jets take Mitchell Trubisky at 6 and you still get Deshaun Watson there, me personally, I have Deshaun Watson a little bit higher. And I think that the 49ers would like either one of those guys, but getting Trubisky may be that guy that Kyle Shanahan can turn into the next Matt Ryan.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan would probably be extremely happy to get Mitchell Trubisky. I don't think they would have to rely on him to start right away. They signed 2 veteran quarterbacks, Hoyer and Barkley.
Former Bears.
Yeah.
Garbage.
I don't know why they signed both of them. But still, it'd be a good landing spot for him. Dude really needs to redshirt his first year, and I hope some team's willing to be patient with him. And if they give him that time to really build and become a man and become an NFL player, he's going to succeed at the next level.
Number 9 overall, the Cincinnati Bengals. I have their top 3 needs as defensive line, offensive line, and linebacker. Basically, for this team, their linebacking core needs to get younger. But really, you can't let one Jonathan Allen defensive tackle of Alabama fall that low. You take him while you can. Before all the arthritis stuff came out, he was the number one D tackle, even possibly draft pick in the league. He's
quick. Only in Josh's mock because he's dumb.
He's quick off the ball. He was taught by Mr. Miyagi himself in the school of wax on and wax off because he has hands that are both strong and powerful. He always finds himself in the right place, and he's a great pursuit and tackles hard. Again, he has multiple moves with his hands. It's just an incredible guy to watch. The big downside is he had a labrum surgery on each shoulder and has mild arthritis. He says it won't affect him until he's much older, but you don't really know.
I like the pick there. Again, Jonathan Aleph, if you can get someone like that who is projected as top two or three talent in the whole draft at that spot, absolutely. Good pick, Mike.
He's one heck of a prospect, extremely clean prospect. Wasn't as athletic as a lot of people thought he was going to be. Showed that at the combine. Some people are worried about that shoulder issue. I'm not. I think he's going to be fine in the NFL. Personally, he's one of my guys who I think is going to fall outside the top 10.
Yeah, he can play all across the defensive line. So, I mean, it just makes sense.
Number 10 overall, the Buffalo Bills. I have their top three needs as wide receiver, quarterback, and DB. Listen, it's pretty easy here. We're drafting a wide receiver, so let's just get right to it. The Bills lost Robert Woods, Marquise Hunter, and Justin Hunter, Sammy Watkins, and two new teammates, Corey Brown and Jeremy Butler, are not enough to rise the Bills to last year's ranked 30th passing offense. I know I'm sorry.
Why?
I don't know.
Don't let Tom's
intimidating
me.
It's been a while.
Don't let Tom listen. Tom's a schmuck. Okay,
I'm just giving him the stare down.
Tom's just looking at you and making you nervous. Don't worry about Tom. Okay, he's over there all high and mighty. You're doing great.
Thanks, guys.
You are doing good, Mike.
But they will take Mike Williams, wide receiver, Clemson. He is not my number one wide receiver, but it's just something that completely fits the Bills. He's got a strong build. He's as strong as the Chicago PD taking somebody off an airplane.
I love the little comments that he makes.
He accelerates well and gets off the line for a big receiver. He's got long arms that gives him a huge catch radius. He makes adjustments to the catch and pass. A great runner after the catch. Willing blocker and will win just about every jump ball that's thrown his way.
I love the pick here. It's something that we've talked about a lot. I believe I had Mike Williams at 10 in my mock draft. I think Josh may have as well.
Nope.
No, okay, whatever. But I love the pick there. I don't love the reasoning behind it because it's a typical Tom move. Hey, he's not the best person at this position, but you know what? So he's going to get drafted there anyway. I hate that reasoning, but hey, it's your mock draft there, Mike. We're living in it.
The best player at the position does not always get drafted first. Timmy. The Bills desperately need a wide receiver number two. Sammy Watkins has been effective when he's been healthy. That hasn't been too often, though. He's coming into, they could either sign him to that fifth-year rookie extension or let him walk. They're going to need to find someone that could replace him and stay on the field so teams aren't putting nine people in the box trying to stop that taunted running game Buffalo has.
Yeah, I mean, they need a wide receiver, and Mike Williams, he fits right there. So as much as I like Corey Davis, we don't know what Corey Davis is yet. He did not participate in the combine, didn't do his pro day. So, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Zeal, the number 11 overall, New Orleans Saints. Their top three needs for me are DB, defensive end, and linebacker. New Orleans in the offseason did not make a lot of moves. None of them solved their 31st ranked in points allowed. And for their defense, no one other than Cam Jordan made more than 1.5 sacks. With a deep DB class and another first-round pick, the Saints are going to select Derek Barnett, defensive end, Tennessee. His first step and initial quickness are dominant. He has moves on top of moves and the three counter moves for each one of those moves. He finds the ball no matter what and makes plays on that ball and can shed quickly, and that's really it. He's a guy that is gonna tackle somebody and he's gonna get to the quarterback.
He's not a physical freak by any means. did not test well at the combine, was sick, came back to his pro day, didn't test well. On tape, you don't see an explosive, quick-twitched athlete out there, but this dude's a technician. He can get after the quarterback, and there's a reason why he broke Reggie White's all-time sack record at Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm fine with Derek Barnett there. Again, that New Orleans Saints defense needs a playmaker, and me personally, I believe I had a corner going at this spot, but I'm fine with Barnett going there.
I love your reasoning there with how deep this cornerback class is, that they're able to go get the pass rusher first and go with the cornerback at 32.
Thank you. Number 12 overall, Cleveland Browns. Like I said earlier, I'll tell you about them. Wait. There's a trade. The New England Patriots trade up to the number 12. There's something that Bill Belichick loves to do, and he loves to add picks. And it's easy because they're not going to lose anything, because they're going to give the Cleveland Browns their starting quarterback, Jimmy G, and the New England Patriots are going to get the number 12 overall and probably more.
Caw-caw! Jimmy Garoppolo has just committed suicide.
So, with the number 12 overall, the New England Patriots select Christian McCaffrey, running back. Fake out. That's not true. That's not going to happen. There's no way they'll take a running back in the first. It's going to be one O.J. Howard, tight end, Alabama. This dude is 6'5 and ran a 4.51, which is just absolutely crazy. He can block, he can catch, he can outrun DBs, he can cut, he can separate, and watch out what he can do after he catches the ball. You try to bring him down, a 251-pounder running a 4.51. It's just gross and unfair. If you can imagine this team with both just O.J. Howard and Rob Gronkowski, it's really just unfair.
Yeah, I can't imagine it because that would be way too unfair. So the pick is, I mean, it would make all the sense in the world. The Browns would get their quarterback, and then you know what? The Patriots get that second tight end. Martellus Bennett's gone. They traded away another tight end. They got Dwayne Allen. But, I mean, you get somebody like O.J. Howard to go along with Gronkowski, my lord. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, this move would make everyone in the NFL extremely angry. Just the rich keep getting richer. New England Patriots with O.J. Howard, probably the best tight end prospect we've seen in the last 10 years. That would be unreal, and I would be so mad. I'd probably break Josh's TV screen when we're watching the draft next week.
That's not very nice. Yeah, that's something. I thought my Cowboys reach was a bit much, but hey, you never know. That's probably actually even more realistic than my Cowboys pick.
Number 13 overall, Arizona Cardinals. Top three needs for me are cornerback, quarterback, and offensive lineman. But there's just a glaring inside linebacker that I see, and it's Reuben Foster of Alabama. He never comes off the field, plays around the run and pass equally well, can take on a block and shed quickly, can play sideline to sideline, and a very good tackler, and he can handle himself with wide receivers.
Mike, I love this pick. I love Reuben Foster at number 9. I have said that since day one, even after all of the nonsense that went down at the combine. Josh and Tom are not as confident, but it's too perfect of a fit. He's too great of a talent for that not to happen.
Yeah, I like it.
Cards definitely need help at the inside backer spot. Lost starter Kevin Minter to the Bengals in the offseason. He'd be a fit there. They're an aggressive defense that likes to send pressure, and linebackers blitz all the time from the inside in that system. He's extremely good at doing that. I don't think Reuben Foster will be a top 10 pick in this draft, so going 13 makes me happy, Mike. Thank you.
You're welcome. Number 14 overall, the Philadelphia Eagles. Their top three needs for me are cornerback, running back, and basically their front seven, which is kind of unfortunate for them. Fortunately for Philadelphia, they did add Alshon Jeffery and Torrey Smith. Blow my hat off. Stop the presses, because it doesn't really matter. They both still suck. It doesn't do anything. Ryan Matthews sucks. He came out and he can't stay on the field. And I can't believe people keep believing in him. With such a deep DB class, I don't believe that the Eagles can pass on one. Quick update. Looks like Ryan Matthews is going to get cut, too. That's what I heard recently. Anyways, I don't believe the Eagles can pass on one Christian McCaffrey, running back, Stanford.
Wow.
He's an excellent multi-purpose back. He can do kick returns. He can be a wide receiver. He can be a running back. He's going to be a great addition for Carson Wentz. He basically can do it all. He's got speed, strength, a change of direction, burst, balance, runs low. He's got good vision, production inside and out. He can make defenders miss both in tight and open spaces. He's just an all-around excellent running back.
Mike, let me ask you, do you have on your big board, do you have Christian McCaffrey above Dalvin Cook?
No, I don't. It's just the fit of the team.
Fair enough.
I know there's reports going around that Christian McCaffrey got a guarantee that he'll be either a top 10 or top 15 pick from some anonymous source. That's why he canceled all his workouts this week. So I like him going to the Eagles. It is a fit. They need help for Carson Wentz, like you said, Mike. And if he goes there, it's an added weapon for him. It's going to help in the development of your young quarterback. And that's one thing teams need to do when they draft a quarterback. Surround him with weapons to make his job easier.
I think Dalvin is the better fit for this team, just for the fact that if you look at Dalvin in college, he was always in the shotgun or lined up to the left of the quarterback in shotgun. Christian McCaffrey was asked to do a lot out of the shotgun a little bit, but more or less as the single back, deep back. So I don't know. I mean, I'm fine with Christian McCaffrey going there. He's going to get drafted in the top 20 regardless, so that could easily be that spot.
Fuck you, Josh. Number 15 overall, the Indianapolis Colts. Their needs are inside linebacker, cornerback, and running back. The Indianapolis D cannot get off the field, and it's pretty sad. And they need to draft a leader, and that person will be one Raquan McMillan, inside linebacker, Ohio State. He's a big-time playmaker, shut your mouth, Tom, who is always around the ball. He can clear the piles, quick to stack and shed, good pass rush, great anticipation, which gives him true sideline-to-sideline range. The only problem is he doesn't have great sack production. He's not too bad of a good of a violent tackler, and he's more of a grab-and-drag tackler.
Mike, listen. This is horrendous. Mike, I like you, but I'm going to step to the side. I'm going to let Tom crucify you right now because you're about to get torched, so just hold on to your seat.
This is an absolutely horrendous pick. Raquan McMillan will not go in the first round. There's about four other linebackers who are better than him. The position is a position of need. Personally, Hassan Reddick's a hell of a lot better. Zach Cunningham's a hell of a lot better. Jared Davis is a hell of a lot better. Duke Riley is a hell of a lot better. Raquan McMillan will not be in the first round. And the only time the Indianapolis Colts defense gets off the field is when they play the Green Bay Packers, because Andrew Luck is 2-0 against Aaron Rodgers.
All right, that's all I got.
Number 16 overall.
Why'd you give the Colts the worst player in your first round?
Hey, well, the thing is, though, you've said it before, where teams, yeah, they need a position, right? Buffalo, they need a wide receiver. Sometimes they draft a player that's that they don't need.
That they fell in love with.
Yeah.
Can we restart?
There's a possibility.
There's zero possibility.
Next. Pick number 16.
Number 16, the Baltimore Ravens. My top three needs for them are defensive end, cornerback, and wide receiver. This one's easy for me. After Steve Smith retired and Kamara Aiken leaving via free agency, that leaves Baltimore Ravens with Bashard Perriman.
Yeah.
And Mike Wallace. So I think the perfect fit for them is one John Ross, wide receiver, Washington. He is the fastest man ever at the combine. He has excellent body control, very quick in and out of breaks, which gives him separation. Does a good job fighting through jams, which is an added bonus. And he is a good option for kick returner. The one added bonus, though, is Joe Flacco has one of the best deep passes you can see in the league. And you could see that when they went to the Super Bowl with Torrey Smith, which is something I think John Ross would fit very well with.
Mike, I don't even know who you just picked. I'm still angry about the last pick, but just wait to see who the Packers draft next week. I'm done.
They need a wide receiver. I don't know if Ross is exactly what they need, but it's not a bad pick. I'll take it easy on you because I feel like you're going to continue to get torched for the rest of this draft just because of your Colts pick.
Yeah, at this spot, you could have went John Ross or Corey Davis, and In my opinion, I think it probably the safer bet would have been Corey Davis. Rashad Perriman is already kind of the speedster, or he was known as that in college. But who knows? Baltimore could fall in love with John Ross and his speed. So especially being a return man, he runs great routes. So there's a very strong possibility you can very much compare him to a Steve Smith light, I guess, in a sense. So not bad.
Thank you. So, with the number 17 overall, the Washington... Wait a second. Jesus. Washington trades the number 17 overall pick to the one Chicago Bears. They trade back into the first round. Let's be honest, they need a quarterback, and they're going to take one. DeShone Kizer, quarterback of Notre Dame. I know you hate it. I love it.
Listen, how does it feel, Tim, to have your heart ripped out of your chest and stomped on by one Michael honest, agent?
This is Chicago, and they're going to do something stupid like this. He's a prototypical NFL size.
Well, this is real. This is real.
Yeah,
okay.
No, not a joke.
Okay. I thought he was trolling me when he said the Colts pick.
He has good speed and quick feet. He ran an NFL-style offense and was able to change plays and protection at the line of scrimmage. He has quick delivery and able to read the field and go through a full progression, which is something that the Chicago Bears need because Mike Glennon...
There is not a snowball's chance in fucking hell that this happens. Mike, I just tried defending you. I've told him to pipe down. I've tried defending you, and you bring this shit into my house? This is worse than Raekwon McMillan. This is worse... DeShone,
no, it's not.
Yeah, it is. DeShone Kizer is barely the top seven quarterback in this draft. He's barely that. He is not good. He's not terrible, or not great at all. It's a terrible pick. There's no way in hell that the Bears are trading up to draft a quarterback like DeShone Kizer in this spot. He cannot run a pro style offense. This is awful, Mike. I hate you. I hate you.
Yet he'll end up on the Bears.
Like, right now I'm shocked Mike didn't have Myles Garrett fall all the way down to the Packers so they get
steak dinner back.
Like,
I'm sitting here.
I will not steak dinner back. That's crazy.
I am sitting here, and I'm like, man, you know what? Mike's doing a great job. First episode back in a while, doing great. And then you put Raekwon McMillan and DeShone Kizer within three picks of each other, you freaking schmuck.
I love the pick, Mike.
I love this pick. I just didn't appreciate the Colts pick.
No, if the Bears ever did decide to move back up into the
draft, leave.
I don't think that they'll take a DeShone Kizer. Maybe a what's his face?
Kid from Texas Tech.
Yeah, kids from Texas Mahomes. Tech. Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes. Maybe they go with him, and I mean, he's already compared to Jay Cutler, so why
There's
not
get a better
Jay
shot
Cutler?
Of Rex Grossman yeah. coming back and playing for the Bears so. Than DeShone Kizer getting drafted in the first round by the Bears.
But yeah, the Bears going back into the first round, that'd be interesting. I'm not going to say
if Kizer gets drafted by the Bears in the first round, Josh, I will burn the Pony Keg Studios down to the fucking ground. I'm telling you right now.
Listen, they drafted Kevin White. And then they moved up to get Leonard Fournette. So it's not out of the field of possibility.
You mean Leonard Floyd?
Well, yeah. Fournette.
Yeah,
sorry,
Leonard
sorry.
Floyd, and he had double-digit sacks last year, unlike anyone on the Green Bay
Packers. He couldn't
keep
his head up, and he kept getting driven in the ground, which is why he got two concussions last season.
How many sacks did he have last year?
I don't know.
All right, like ladies, 13. Let's move on.
Number 18, the Tennessee Titans. Their top three needs for me are the wide receiver, cornerback, and tight end. They got Marshawn Lattimore with the number 5 overall. So they tackle the wide receiver position and take Corey Davis, wide receiver, Western Michigan. Very good route runner. He can beat double teams and even triple teams. He competes in traffic and wins, and he's also a strong blocker. Overall, he's comparable to Brandon Marshall and Dez Bryant. It'll just be very interesting to see what he can do. I believe he had a couple injuries.
I just want you to know you're only talking to Josh right now. Tom's not talking to you anymore. I'm not talking to you anymore. Erroneous.
We'll see what we say at the Tampa Bay.
Well, I love the Tennessee pick. Corey Davis going there. He may be the best wide receiver in the draft class. He may be the third best wide receiver in the draft class, or maybe even the fourth. There's a possibility there as well. But I like him going to Tennessee. If it's a need, they need wide receiver.
By the way, Tim, Leonard Floyd had 7 sacks, so way to double it.
Well, whatever. Regardless.
Good pick, though, Mike. Tennessee, obviously, we know they need wide receiver help. Some people are saying they're going to pick one at 5, but I think you went the right route, getting them the best overall corner in this draft. And on my board, you still got them the number one wide receiver. Makes a ton of sense and helps a young quarterback out, Marcus Mariota. And that team's going to be scary next year.
Floyd still made the all-rookie team. Great pick. I love Corey Davis. I hate you, Mike.
Number 19 overall, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. My top three needs for them are safety, running back, and linebacker. They brought back Chris Conte and J.J. Wilcox. That allows Tampa Bay to wait for taking a safety in the second round. And no one knows the future of them with what's the guy from the Kia Soul commercials? Doug Martin, the hamster, right?
Yeah, so, Doug Martin.
So nobody knows what's going to happen to him. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at number 19 take Dalvin Cook, running back, Florida State.
Yeah, I like it, Mike.
He's very nifty and elusive. Talk him up. He will make people miss on all levels. He's got good speed, change of direction, quick feet, a reliable receiver, and a willing pass blocker.
Well, Mike, you made a great pick. I like it. It makes a lot of sense. Dalvin Cook dropping all the way down there. I'll take it.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook will make about as many misses as you have in this mock draft so far. Good pick here. He would fit perfectly in that system. Terrible rest of your picks because you're dumb.
There is a report out now saying that the Bucs will take a running back in the first round. I absolutely love this pick, yep. And I feel like you saw my mock draft before we started, Mike.
Now just be careful. I forgot to mention that he did have 6 fumbles last year, so something that
I think he only lost like 3 or something.
He still needs to work on
it. Let me ask this question. I know we just heard Mike's mock draft with the running back going to Tampa, but imagine this scenario if the top 3 running backs, Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, are all gone before Tampa Bay's pick, and they still want to take a running back in the first round. Who do they take, if anybody, or do they just trade back or take the best available?
They wouldn't take a running back if all 3 of those were off the board.
I don't think they would either. If they did, I think it would be Deonta Foreman.
Personally, I think it's Dalvin Cook or bust. I agree. I don't think Leonard Fournette, I don't think there's a realistic chance that he goes all the way to 19 unless they completely trade up and do something absolutely crazy. And I don't think Christian McCaffrey's the best fit either. Cook has a chance to be a 3-down running back in the NFL.
You took my question that I was going to ask Josh. Josh, they say they're going to draft a running back in the first round. Dalvin Cook is gone. Would you be okay with them taking Christian McCaffrey?
I'd rather have Devonta Foreman over Christian McCaffrey. He just fits that offense better, in a sense. Look exactly what Devonta Foreman did when he was in Texas. That's the same type of offense that they ran.
Gained weight?
What?
What?
He's a little chubby guy. That's points.
Okay.
Number 20 overall, the Denver Broncos. My top 3 needs for them are offensive tackle, tight end, and running back. Denver added an offensive guard in Ronald Larry and offensive tackle McClellan Watson.
I think that's Malik.
Malik, thank you. That was way off.
McClellan.
My handwriting's not very good. Sorry. But anyways, they need to protect the quarterback. They need to be able to set that run game again, and that's why they're going to take one Ryan Ramczyk, offensive tackle, Wisconsin. Simply put, this kid can block. He has good reach. He can reach the second level in the run, and he can set, mare, recover, and anchor in the pass. The only downside I have to him is he's a one-year D1 starter, and he had a hip labrum surgery.
I give you props, Mike. You could pronounce a hard Polish name, but you struggle with normal American names, so good job. I think Denver, they definitely need offensive line help. And I will be shocked if they don't get one of the top 3 tackles in this draft class at number 20.
Great enunciating, great pick. I'm falling apart here towards the end of your mock. I'm not going to lie. Just good job.
Yeah, Ryan Ramczyk going there makes a lot of sense. They need that offensive line help. A lot of people have Bowles going there, but Ramczyk may be the better pass-blocking tackle, I guess, in a sense.
Yeah, I think if Ramczyk, all his medicals clear out, I believe he's getting a medical check next week sometime. So, like, right before the draft, as long as everything's pointed at the right direction, I think he'll be either the first or second tackle in ahead of Bowles.
Number 21 overall, the Detroit Lions. My top 3 needs for them are linebacker, edge rusher, and running back. My first overall draft before I finalized everything. This was the one that it almost took me 2 hours digging through information to try to pick. It was incredibly difficult. GM Bob Quinn went through free agency and got his O-line put together, so that's good there. And he will turn into the draft for his defensive tackles, the front seven, and also a potential franchise running back. But here, right now, the Detroit Lions are going to select one, Hassan Riddick, outside linebacker, Temple. He is an intense player that makes intense plays, explosive with the ability to make big hits. He's a very good pass rush and can also have the ability to play both down in the dirt and stand up. Overall, he can also cover in man coverage, so he can take those tight ends and some slot receivers.
Mike, for how much I hate you, this is my favorite pick that you've made so far in this whole mock draft. I love the fit there. If somehow, I feel like he might be gone beforehand. If the Lions can get Reddick, this is the type of guy who I feel like is a, turn the lifestyle, turn the MO of your defense around. He can run a defense. He's smart enough. He's that type of player. He can become the defensive team captain. He can help build other players up. He's a fantastic fit for that team if he falls that far. Great pick.
Yeah, it'd be a really good landing spot for Hassan Reddick. A lot of people are saying he's getting top 15 talk, though. I think he could play the Mike, Sam, or Will in their defensive scheme. He could get after the quarterback if they need to use him on a third and long play. But overall, excellent fit, excellent pick. And I'm shocked you're helping an NFC North team. I thought you were drafting like garbage for every NFC North team.
Hey, Tom, would you like Hassan Reddick more than Raekwon McMillan?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
This is my second favorite pick that you've made in this whole mock draft, right behind the DeShone Kizer pick for the Bears. it makes sense. And Reddick has been flying up draft boards. Like I said before, I've seen him on mock drafts all the way up to pick number 9.
Yeah.
But yeah, the kid is, it's crazy. Senior Bowl is pretty much known as the guys that are old that shouldn't be drafted high in the NFL draft. And now look at where Hassan Reddick is, first round selection. So he deserves all the praise, and going to that spot would make a lot of sense.
Number 22 overall, the Miami Dolphins. My top three needs are offensive guard / center, defensive end, and linebacker. And what an offseason these guys had. They added inside linebacker Lawrence Timmons, safety Nate Allen, tight end Anthony Fasano. They traded for Julius Thomas, re-signed wide receiver Kenny Stills, free safety Rashad Jones, and defensive end Andre Branch. Unfortunately, they lost defensive end Mario Williams and tight end Deion Sims. But one thing they did not touch on in that entire free agency was their offensive line, and they select one, Forrest Lamp, offensive guard, Western Kentucky. He's a modern-day Amish. If you guys haven't seen, look at his draft day picture. He's got that weird Amish beard going on. He's a four-year starter. He can naturally roll his hips and clear holes for running backs. Good hands for both pass and run block. One negative I have, he used to play tackle in college, but his arm length will not make him be able to do that. He'll have to move on the inside. For reference, he has 32 1/4-inch arms. Cam Robinson, one of the top tackles in this draft, has 35 1/2-inch arms.
I feel like you're breaking the stigma of the term "you can't fix stupid" because those are two great picks, but right in a row after some terrible picks. Good job. I love the pick. I feel like this is a realistic possibility for where Forrest Lamp will land. Highly touted. I know Cam Robinson is also very highly touted, but I love Lamp. On the Dolphins.
If the Dolphins get Forrest Lamp in the first round of this year's draft, Jay Ajayi will be going up the draft boards for me, spending two first-round picks back-to-back years, Laremy Tunsil, and then Forrest Lamp. That will solidify or help solidify their offensive line and hopefully get a team in the AFC East that could compete with the New England Patriots. I absolutely love this pick. Overall, I think Forrest Lamp's the best overall O-lineman in this draft, and his pre-draft his measurables compare extremely well to Zach Martin, all-pro right guard for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about Laremy Tunsil going to right tackle, and if that's the case, Forrest Lamp can either play tackle or can slide in at the offensive guard or even center spot that we've talked about before. So makes a lot of sense. I like it.
Do you think that the Dolphins are set then at quarterback with Tannehill, at least for the next couple of years, if they're able to solidify that offensive line?
Wide receiver Tannehill? Yeah, I think they might be okay with him still, so who knows.
I liked what I saw out of him last year, in all honesty. I think he grew up a lot, and I think Pace did a wonderful job.
That's the guy who you were talking about going into last season. People were talking about him being a top 10 fantasy quarterback.
You got to give him the weapons. Got to give him a running game. Give him an offensive line. And he'll give be him fine. A running game. Give him some, you know, wide receivers that'll catch the ball.
Last thing about the Dolphins, obviously the beginning of the year last year, obviously he settled in towards the end, but there was the questions there. You know, Jay Ajayi didn't start off hot. He was benched at a point. You know, is Jay Ajayi the guy? I know Josh and I are both very high on him going into last year and throughout the year last year.
Yeah, Ajayi was very sour when they brought in the old Houston.
Arian Foster.
Yeah. Once he won the job, it was very clear that he was happy with the team. Pace was benching people back and forth just to set a tone for the team. And once he got on board, it's very clear it's Ajayi's game, club, team. Number 23 overall.
I love you so much.
Number 23 overall, the New York Giants. My top three needs for them are middle linebacker, tight end, and offensive tackle. The middle linebacker has been one of the major needs for the New York Giants for years. It is time. Just joking. They're not going to take a middle linebacker here.
Just give the Colts a shitty one.
The Giants need to protect Eli Manning. He's on his last years, and their backup is Geno Smith. They also just added Brandon Marshall. So what they're going to do is add one Cam Robinson, offensive tackle, Alabama. He's got great size, explosive hips, quick off the ball, gets movement in the run game and stays low with those quick hands, and he also keeps those hands on the inside. One problem to him, why I have him dropping a little bit here to number 23, is he had an arrest in the summer of 2016, and he also has some trouble with some speedsters off the edge.
Hey, you're rolling, brother. Love this pick. I feel like Robinson will help solidify, help give Eli the time to give Shepard, Beckham, and Marshall the ball. I feel like hopefully they draft a running back in like the second or third round. They already have that young defense that is, you know, really stepped up here the second half of last year. So I love the pick.
I'm not a huge fan of the pick personally. I think the Giants need a left tackle. I do not think that Cam Robinson is a left tackle. He reminds me a lot of their current tackle, Eric Flowers. Kind of stiff, not very athletic, struggles with speed a lot. That was exactly what they wrote about Eric Flowers coming into the league. So right now you just drafted yourself two right tackles.
You think they'll take the kid that's 26 or what's that? Who am I thinking of?
Garrett Bowles.
Yeah,
I think he projects better as a left tackle. He's extremely more athletic, got better feet, can deal with speed. But I think Bowles would be the better pick.
Number 24 overall, the Oakland Raiders. My top three needs for them are the middle linebacker, cornerback, and safety. Oakland needs to add a sidekick to both Bruce Irvin and Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack?
Khalil Mack, yeah. Jesus. So they're going to add one, Jared Davis, inside linebacker, Florida. Basically, there's not much negative to say here. Positive. Oh, my God, I'm saying that completely wrong. The only negative I have is he missed four games with an ankle injury, and he has some trouble tackling people when he doesn't wrap up. Overall, though, he's the type of inside linebacker teams are looking for nowadays. He's got great instincts. He's fast. Davis can cover wide receivers and tight ends. He's just a great on-the-field guy.
Hey, don't let Tom intimidate you with his vicious stares. You fell off the rails. You're bringing it all back in. Another great pick. That would be a steal for the Raiders, in my opinion. That would help shore up their defense with the front four that they have. And that linebacking core, with Davis, might be one of the best linebacking cores in the NFL.
Davis deserves to be picked in the first round. The spot, extremely great spot for him to land in. He'll probably be an instant starter there. Would have loved to see him at pick 15.
Yeah, him at 24 is ridiculous. I like it a lot, so that's all I have to say.
Josh, you're still here?
I am.
Oh, hey, man.
Number 25 overall, the Houston Texans. My top three needs for them are right tackle, quarterback, and safety. In this offseason, they finally admitted the $37 million mistake, and their Romo prayers were not answered. So they're going to have to go quarterback Patrick Mahomes the second, quarterback Texas Tech. This guy is a gunslinger. He threw for 11,000 yards and 93 touchdowns in 2.5 seasons. He's a pocket passer with one hell of an arm. Has good accuracy and ball placement. But, however, he was not asked to do much at the line of scrimmage, and he's not the most mobile of quarterbacks.
I like the pick. They definitely need a quarterback. I do believe Mahomes has a lot of work. As we when we broke him down, we all agreed upon, you know, he's got probably 2 to 3 years before he's actually ready to play in the NFL. But you're absolutely right, Mike. They need a quarterback, so I don't mind this at all.
Absolutely love the pick. Bill O'Brien has been reported to saying that he's in love with Pat Mahomes. And I would seriously be shocked if the Texans don't wind up getting him one way or another.
Yeah, same here. Patrick Mahomes, there's so many things that you like about his game, and there's so many things that you dislike about his game. The chances that he takes, the errant throws that he makes, but there's just so many positives that can come out of that as well. So Houston needs a quarterback.
Jay Cutler Jr., kids.
Yeah.
Number 26 overall, the Seattle Seahawks. My top three needs for them are offensive tackle, DB, and defensive tackle. They need offensive tackles bad. That's where we're going to go here. It wouldn't surprise me, however, if they traded out of the first round. Seattle loves racking up picks. They didn't have a first-round pick in both 2013, 2014, or 2015, and wound up with 28 picks total in those three drafts. The Seattle Seahawks will select one Garrett Bowles, offensive tackle, Utah. He's a very aggressive kid who plays with a nasty disposition, gets after people in both the run and pass, and he's got quick feet. The one setback is he's 25 years old, being a rookie, and he doesn't have much of lower body strength. This is a weak tackle class. Normally, I would have a guy as his grade going in the second round, but Seattle needs one, and this is the one that's available.
So let me get this straight. You can say goddamn disposition, but you can't say Ross. But yeah, no, Garrett Bowles, if Garrett Bowles drops all the way down to the Seattle Seahawks, I will be freaking shocked for one. And two, the Seattle Seahawks have to be super excited to get a tackle or some offensive lineman that can contribute to their weak offensive line.
They desperately, desperately need offensive line help. Russell Wilson got beat up last year, got hit. I think he was the most sacked quarterback in the NFL, most hit quarterback. They need help across that O-line to help that running game. Seattle Seahawks want to be a running team, and they couldn't be last year. Hopefully this pick will help them become their true identity.
A team in win-now mode makes sense to take Bowles with his age. It's a perfect pick. Good spot.
Number 27 overall, the Kansas City Chiefs. My top three needs for them are inside linebacker, cornerback, and quarterback. I don't have them being able to pass up on this particular person. It's Marlon Humphrey, quarterback, cornerback of Alabama. He's got the prototypical build for a press corner. He's quick, powerful hands that knows how to knock wide receivers off the routes. He can cover a lot of ground, excellent against the run. His father, Bobby Humphrey, was a first-round pick in the Pro Bowler for the Denver Broncos in the early 1990s. He's a running back. The one negative to him is he gives up a lot of big plays, something that the Green Bay Packers what's his name? I'll remember it in a minute. Go ahead.
No, I like the pick there. It's not bad. You know, Humphrey is he's got that mean style behind him. Him playing with that stout defense already, I feel like he'd fit in nicely with what the Kansas City Chiefs got going on.
Humphrey right now is either the second or third cornerback on most people's boards with Sidney Jones getting hurt. I like him as a player. Struggles going deep with receivers. Hell of a zone cornerback. And I think having to cover number two receivers with Marcus Peters across from him will do him wonders. Dude loves a hit. Extremely fun to watch on film.
Yeah, I think Marlon Humphrey is actually like the forgotten corner in a sense. You look at some of the other guys that are available, and he's that guy where it's like you talk about him, and he should be number two on the draft board, but realistically, you probably have him at three or four.
Yeah.
So going to Kansas City at 27 makes all the sense in the world. I like that. I would have, if Sidney Jones wasn't hurt, obviously, I think he'd be taken a little bit higher, but even at that spot. I've been reading reports that saying Sidney Jones still may be a first-round pick, so maybe even that's a spot for Sidney Jones right there, which would be kind of crazy.
Right now, they're saying he'll be back by October, possibly. So.
Yeah.
Number 28 overall, the Dallas Cowboys. My top three needs for them are defensive end, DB, and tight end. My pick is going to be way better than Tim's trade up for O.J. Howard, so that's a positive right there. The Cowboys,
okay, Raekwon.
The Cowboys have done nothing to fix their 28 total sacks of 2016, and that's why they're going to take one defensive end, Taco Charlton from Michigan. Basically, Tim, I had Tim Williams and him going in the same spot, but I think Dallas just can't take the risk on a troubled pass again, and that's where Tim Williams is just too much of a risk. But Taco has the height and length with the frame to carry another 15 pounds. Right now he was labeled at 277 pounds, and he can bend and close quickly. He needs more pass rush moves and counter moves, and he needs to add a little bit of strength.
I don't mind it. I don't love it. I feel like there's a better spot a little bit later for Taco. I think the Cowboys might even like one tack McKinley a little bit better at that spot if they're going to go for a pass rusher. But, yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying Dallas's number one need right now should be cornerback. I think they lost two starters, lost a safety. So there's definitely a need there. But they need a pass rusher. I'm glad you addressed that here, Mike. And I actually like the Taco selection right there. Rod Marinelli's a great coach. An excellent D-line coach, and it'd be one of the best spots for Taco to go, trying to learn the position more. He's kind of just used his raw athletic abilities in the past, and he's been successful with it.
Give me Charles Harrison there. That's all I can say. I've put Charles Harrison at this spot over and over again, if not higher. I like Charlton, but I like Charles Harrison
don't.
At that
you
spot.
You don't like Taco.
I like him no, deep down inside.
No, you don't.
Number 29 overall, the Green Bay Packers. My top.
Here we go.
The top three needs for them are outside linebacker.
He's like, there are no needs.
Perfect team.
Linebacker, outside linebacker, offensive line, and cornerback. Also, you could throw a fourth running back because Ty Montgomery is not the number one guy, and neither is Christian Michael. In the offseason, they did address their tight end with adding Martellus Bennett and Les Kendricks and bringing back cornerback Devon House. They did lose, however, Micah Hyde, who went to Buffalo, TJ Lang, Dante Jones, JC Treader, Julius Peppers, and Eddie Lacy. But what they need to do is give a sidekick to Clay Matthews and Nick Perry, and that is going to be one TJ Watt, outside linebacker, Wisconsin. He's a very good overall athlete. He can bend and change direction with a quick burst. He's very good pass rush moves, very good hands, and excellent efforts in pursuit, and he shows excellent speed. Negatives to him, he's only a one-year starter, and he needs to get a little bit bigger. Right now he's listed at 252 pounds. I would like to see him gain at least 15 pounds. Pretty much, TJ Watt is everything that Green Bay needs, and it reminds me very much of Clay Matthews.
I actually love that pick. I believe I had TJ Watt going to the Packers as well, but I'm actually going to go and change my mock draft now, and the Packers are going to select Davis Webb, quarterback from Cale. That is my new pick for the Green Bay Packers.
Love the pick, Mike, and I like your comparison as well. Clay Matthews, as he's gotten older, has shown the ability to line up inside, line up outside on passing downs. I think TJ can bring that to the table as well. He's got a ton of untapped potential. I think he could learn a lot from Clay Matthews, and I think he could be a productive 10-plus sack-a-year type guy in that system.
Yeah, I agree as well. I mean, you look at it, he's got the same work ethic as his brother for the most part. He's up there training with him right now. Yeah, just going to Green Bay would make a lot of sense. It reminds me a lot of Clay Matthews. Again, like you said, like Tom said, it kind of almost makes too much sense. But, yeah, not bad.
Number 30 overall, I have Pittsburgh Steelers. I have their top three needs as defensive end, inside linebacker, and running back. One big concern I think the Pittsburgh Steelers have to be feeling is that Big Ben did not say he was going to be coming back this year. It's something that the Pittsburgh Steelers need to address, but...
He said he was playing.
This year. I mean, for the future. Because obviously you're not going to draft a quarterback to take him this year. You're going to think of the future. But if you talk to a Steelers fan, there's somebody they hate on their team, and that's their safety, Mike Mitchell. And that's why I believe they're going to draft one, Jabril Pepper, safety from Michigan. He's the jack of all trades. He can play cornerback, safety, linebacker, or even kick returner. He's got speed, body control, great instincts, excellent attacker in the open field, and he is not Mike Mitchell. I think the Steelers would like the most, really. One neg I have on him is he only has one career interception, which is something that the Steelers would obviously want to improve. But if you look at him, he is what Troy Polamalu was back in the day. He was a safety that could play up top and cover people, or he can come inside and play linebacker and rush, do a blitz.
It's an interesting pick. You know, it's a guy who, you know, if he could find his place in that system, wouldn't it be bad? Another spot that I would like Tack McKinley at. I feel like Tack McKinley would thrive in that defense, but it's not a terrible pick.
I like it, Mike. Jabril Peppers, he's kind of that guy right now where I'm having a hard time putting him in my first round. Kind of have that feeling that he will go in the first round. Steelers definitely need help at the safety spot. They need help at the nickel corner spot, and I think Jabril Peppers can play that for him and kind of be that versatile chess piece that can move around to do what they want to do on the defensive side of the football. They definitely need help on the defensive side of the football stopping the Patriots. They just seem to be blocking them every time they have that team that could make a Super Bowl run, and they haven't been able to get past them.
Well, I don't like Jabril Peppers, and he kind of reminds me a little bit of Troy Polamalu, like you did say. Another spot, or another person for this spot, would be Obi Melifonwu. That would be another guy at this position. That would make a lot of sense. So either one of those guys I'd feel comfortable with, but Peppers, like you said, he does remind me a little bit of Troy, so whatever.
I love the slight hate that you have. Number 31 overall, the Atlanta Falcons. My top three needs for them are a defensive end, offensive guard, and DB. In the offseason, Atlanta signed Dontre Poe to fill their interior line needs on the defensive side. But they do need somebody that can hit the quarterback, and that's why they draft one Tekarist McKinley, defensive end from UCLA. He's a top competitor who goes all out on every play, doesn't give ground to blockers, and has a good amount on the pass rush aside as his moves. On the weak side, he's a little raw. He needs to also work on his hands. Had shoulder surgery after the combine, and will need about 4 or 6 months to recover.
It's not, again, not bad. I'd like Charles Harris at this spot much more. Atlanta's building a young defense. I feel like, you know, listen, Tech could fit. Maybe he goes in and he fits perfectly, but not necessarily the type of player I think that they need.
I think it's a wonderful spot for Tech going to Atlanta. He's not going to be relied upon to be that number one pass rusher because they got Vic Beasley. But you put those two on the field together, they're going to cause havoc. Tech, he's not going to be ready to be a three-down rush linebacker or D-end, whatever they put him at in their system. But he will be good to be that third and long. Put him in there with Vic, and they're going to be getting after the quarterback rushing three or four. And that's something they want desperately in Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta's defense is already pretty good, and then you add Tack on there in a couple months. He starts doing what he needs to do. That defense will be pretty much lights out. Pretty much doing what they needed to do in the Super Bowl and shutting people down, but they sucked.
They kind of needed their offense coordinator to run the football.
That's true, too.
And give your veteran quarterback the ability to audible out of a passing play.
That's true as well.
Number 32 overall, the New Orleans Saints, who traded with this is a real trade that happened. The New England Patriots. I had them at number 11 overall, taking Derek Barnett, a defensive end. Top needs still are cornerback and linebacker, besides their end. Wait a second. I have the Green Bay Packers trading back into the first round to take one Joe Mixon. I'm just joking. That's not true. Basically, to talk around.
So no trade?
No trade.
Oh, my God.
Just faking you out. Sorry. My whole theme of this draft was a lie.
We know.
Basically, the Saints have talked about needing to get a replacement for Drew Brees, and they can't wait till the next round because you have too many teams with the San Francisco 49ers and the Chicago Bears actually needing a quarterback. I know I had it taken here, but let's be realistic about everything. Simply put, they need to take Davis Webb, quarterback California. He's got the ideal NFL size, strong arm, quick release. He's a smart decision maker and can find an open receiver after he's going through his minimal progression. He's also a leader and shows it on the field. He'll be great when Drew Brees finally retires in 2 to 3 years. Don't expect him to make any plays with his feet, and he's never played under center. So that's a guy that needs to be redshirted for a couple years.
My thing about Davis Webb is he does have that prototypical NFL size. He's 6'5". He's a big kid. He's got a strong arm. He can throw the ball. But the thing is, he's gotten beaten out before at Texas Tech. He got beaten out by Patrick Mahomes when he was there, and that's why he transferred in the first place. So I'm a little unsure to see if he is going to be the best second quarterback on that roster. He could easily start off as the third quarterback and then never progress from there, or if he does progress to the second, he never progresses from the second to being the first. Also, I want to point out that Mike just slapped him in the face and you in the face with his picks. He basically wasted two picks to you guys mad. Just wanted to point that out.
Listen, this turned out from going to be a nice thing to an absolute shit show. His fifth quarterback, I believe, taken in the first round. I believe that's number 5. Mm-hmm. I hate you. I hate everything about you. Davis Webb, he's all right, but I hate you, Mike.
I realistically do not see 5 quarterbacks going in the first round. I do not think Davis Webb should be drafted in the first round. There's a chance he's drafted early in the second. I don't think the Saints would waste that pick on him. They have glaring needs at other spots. If DeShone Kizer was available there, I think it'd be worth it. But I do not like the Davis Webb in the first at all. And your number 15 pick was terrible.
Well, Mike, let's run down your picks real quick. I wrote them down so I can do that for you. Cleveland, Myles Garrett. Carolina trades up to number 2, Leonard Fournette. Number 3, Chicago Bears, Jamal Adams. Number 4, Jacksonville, Solomon Thomas. 5, Tennessee Titans, Marshawn Lattimore. 6, New York Jets, Deshaun Watson. 7, Los Angeles Chargers, right?
Yep.
Los Angeles Chargers, Malik Hooker. 49ers at 8, Mitchell Trubisky. Number 9, Cincinnati Bengals, Jonathan Allen. 10, Buffalo Bills, Mike Williams. Number 11, New Orleans Saints, Derek Barnett. Number 12, the Cleveland Browns, O.J. Howard. Number 13, that was a trade with New England. Sorry, didn't want to forget that. New England, O.J. Howard. Pick number 13, Arizona Cardinals, Reuben Foster. Pick number 14, Philadelphia Eagles, Christian McCaffrey. Pick number 15, Indianapolis Colts, Raekwon McMillan. Pick number 16, the Baltimore Ravens, John Ross. Pick number 17, Chicago Bears, DeShone Kizer. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, DeShone Kizer. Tim, DeShone Kizer. Pick number 18, the Tennessee Titans, Corey Davis. Pick number 19, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Dalvin Cook, best pick of the draft. Pick number 20, the Denver Broncos, Ryan Ramczyk. Pick 21, the Detroit Lions, Hassan Reddick, which that may be my favorite pick out of his whole mock draft right there. Pick number 22, Miami Dolphins, Forrest Lamp. Pick number 23, the New York Giants, Cam Robinson. Pick number 24, Oakland Raiders, Jared Davis. Pick number 25, Houston Texans, Patrick Mahomes. Pick 26, Seattle Seahawks, Garrett Bowles. Pick 27, Kansas City, Marlon Humphrey. Pick 28, Dallas Cowboys, Taco Charlton. Pick 29, TJ Watt, the Green Bay Packers. Pick number 30, Pittsburgh Steelers, Jabril Peppers. Pick number 31, Atlanta Falcons, Tack McKinley. Pick number 32, New Orleans Saints, Davis Webb. Those are Mike's picks for his mock draft 1.0.
I just want to point out that since 2001, the most quarterbacks ever taken in the first round is 4. So
it's going to be a record-breaking year. You know, the Bears are going to go 2-12 next, or 2-14 next year, and it's a record-breaking year. What can I say?
Overall, pretty good mock draft, Mike. But I think you neglected the cornerback spot quite a bit. I think this is one of the better cornerback drafts we've seen in the last 10 years or so. And we've seen in the past when there's a good cornerback draft, 5 to 6 on average go. I think you only had two
cornerbacks, a lot of safeties.
Yeah. I agree completely. You undersold a very deep cornerback class, and you oversold a very weak quarterback class. So,
and I'll tell you guys, my reasoning for that is there are I talked to Josh about this before coming in. I see six teams that have a quarterback that need a quarterback. And with a weak quarterback class, they need to bring those guys in now to train them, and they can hold off until the second round to take those cornerbacks. It might not work out that way. I could be wrong. I'm not an expert. I'm just a guy that likes to drink beer and talk to you guys.
All right, well, that's all we have for you guys. Hope you enjoyed Mike's Mock Draft version 1.0. Again, you guys can check it out on pretty much everything, iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, everything like that. Tell your friends, spread it around, do whatever you got to do. You guys can check us out on Twitter, at PonyKick Sports, at PonyKick Tom, at MMA News _ Tim. Mike?
Chicago Bears trade up for DeShone Kizer.
What's your Twitter handle, asshole?
At Michael, our agent.
This guy over here. Then you guys can also check us out on CleatGeeks.com. They got articles on there, and they got a bunch of stuff, and they put our podcast on their articles. So
they also have a replay of the female 2013 Dodgeball Championship, so go back and watch that as well.
All right, thanks a lot. You guys can check them out on Twitter, at CleatGeeks. Let them know that we're the ones that sent you, and check us out on our website, PonyKickSports.com. Email us, PonyKickSports@gmail.com. That's all we got for you guys. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.